Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. How's life treating you? I hear so many people talking about being burned out, being exhausted, feeling depleted. I just am watching so many people overextend themselves. Truth be told, it makes me so sad. Life is not treating those people so well, and it probably has something to do with their ability to establish and honor boundaries, or their inability to establish and honor boundaries. And this podcast is all about boundaries. I truly believe that if we get comfortable with boundary setting, we have less resentment, more self-respect, and more time to invest in the stuff that matters. So my starting question is this: when is enough enough? When do you know you've been pushed, pulled, guilted, or prodded too far? Is it when you can't sleep at night because you're worried about what somebody else wants or somebody else needs from you? Is it when you're cranky with the people you care the most about? Is it when you just don't have time for the things you love because you're spending all your time meeting other people's needs? Or is it when you sacrifice your happiness to keep the peace or to keep other people happy? Is it when everybody else is getting their needs met at your expense? Is it when you allow work to replace family and friends? Look, if we're smart, if we're wise, we don't let it get to any of those points. But just in case you have, there's plenty of time to learn a few new skills that are going to enable you to self-advocate without guilt or remorse. And it all starts with boundary setting. I want to start with something that may sound elementary by defining boundary. A boundary is a line. It can be real or imagined, and it should not be crossed. It's a division. It's a limit to what we consider acceptable behavior, acceptable requests, and acceptable treatment. Now, some boundaries are so rigid that they don't serve us well. These boundaries are typically inflexible, and they create isolation because people feel or sense the rigidity and don't want to engage with you. And then to the other extreme are the open boundaries, and I call them boundaries that aren't boundaries. They're so loose and fuzzy that they don't have meaning and they don't carry weight. What we're all looking for is clear boundaries. We want to create clear boundaries that first honor us and second meet the needs or some of the needs of others. We express these boundaries directly, without apology and without hesitation. They come out of our core values, and they're part of our ability to be strong self-advocates. These boundaries require the ability to say what you mean, say what you need, to temper your candor with a little compassion, and express clarity about your interests. So, where do boundaries apply? Where is it okay to set limits? I believe it's okay anywhere and everywhere. We set physical boundaries to protect our bodies and our personal space. One of my sisters is so good at this. She has mastered the art of stepping back just a little to preserve her personal space and her personal comfort. And let me tell you, she also prefers handshakes to hugs. Even at church, she would rather have a handshake than a hug. Now, I'll tell you the truth, I am the exact opposite. I like hugs. I don't care how close you get to me. But her boundary is her boundary, and my boundary is my boundary. You know, we're also able to set emotional boundaries. Everybody's got feelings, and our emotional boundaries help us protect them. Now, I learned something new recently, and that is that it's okay to set limits on our intellectual and mental space. That means our ideas, our beliefs, and our thoughts. I never considered that as a space for boundary setting, but as I was reading about it, I learned that when people belittle you, when they dismiss you, when they invalidate our thoughts and our ideas, they are actually violating a boundary in our intellectual or mental space. And that was just a new concept for me, and I thought it was really interesting. Last two places where we can and should set boundaries are pretty common, and they're going to come as no surprise. The first is financial, with our money. We've got the right not to become an ATM, not to co-sign loans, not to give our financial or material resources. The second of the last two is time, and this is a biggie. I don't know about you, but when I take on too much, when I have too many demands placed on my time, when I have more responsibilities than I have hours in the day, I get frustrated, I get exhausted, and I get mad. Now, the person I should be mad at is myself because I didn't set clear boundaries around my time. So I've defined boundaries. I talked about the areas in which we can and should have boundaries. Now, I want you to remember, it is your responsibility to take the initiative to ask for what you need. Nobody can read your mind. Don't assume that people know when they're crossing boundaries, because often they don't. They're just doing what you've allowed them to do. Once you change your behavior, you can guide them in changing their behavior towards you. So put some time into examining your choices and understand you don't have to be a victim. Many people struggle with how to create boundaries as if there's a simple formula. We know there's not. But what I want to do is to share several strategies. Now, before you begin the process, remember, boundaries are based on our core values, our goals, and our priorities. Remember, the time to set boundaries is when you're calm and in control of your emotions. This lets us be thoughtful about our lines of demarcation. I know for me, if I'm trying to set a boundary when I'm ticked off, it doesn't come off well. I'm out of control. I'm not thinking about what I'm saying or how I'm saying it. So being calm and being thoughtful is important. It allows us to plan our message and plan how we're going to deliver it. Now, if boundaries are tough for you, be sure to start small. Set yourself up for lots of small victories. You'll build that boundary muscle over time. I'm going to share these strategies, and my hope is that you'll find a few that you're willing to at least try out. First up, number one, no is a complete sentence that doesn't require justification or explanation. Just as you have to learn to say no, it's important to accept and honor the word no from other people. And understand, some people are going to circle back around when they make the ask and you say no. They're going to circle back around and make the ask in a different way. I'll tell you a little story. Somebody at church wanted me to do something that I did not want to do. It was outside of what I know is my calling. They asked me. I said no. They reformulated the question. I said no again. And then they said, I know you're busy, Joanna. You have a lot on your plate, but... And they asked again. I got exasperated and I said that my no really does mean no. My yay means yay and my nay means nay. So be ready for people to rephrase, reframe, and redirect to get what they want. And it is okay to stand firm in your no. You can say no very politely. You know, you could say things like, I'd love to do it, but not now. But only say that you'd love to do it if you'd really love to do it. You could say, oh, that sounds great, but it's not a fit for me. Or you could say no, and thank you for thinking of me. Those are all polite ways to say no. Next thing, the second thing is, you've got to be able to communicate what you want and what you need. Other people need to know your desires. That is so important in healthy boundary setting. It's essential that you own both what you want and what you need. So how does that look? It starts with having internal clarity on both. You need to know what you want. You need to know what you need. It also helps if you understand the rationale for you. When you know your why, you can be emboldened in stating your desires. Next piece of that is to communicate clearly, directly, without apology, and without hesitation. Don't use ambiguous words. Be frank. And don't leave room for misinterpretation. And just like I just said, no apologies, no apologies, no apologies, and no means no. Number three. Oh boy, this is one that I stress a lot in my work when I'm doing leadership development and that kind of stuff. And that is speak in the first person. Speak in the first person. I statements make it clear that you're talking about yourself, that you're honoring yourself, that you're advocating for yourself and owning your boundaries. I statements also enable us to specify desired outcomes. I statements take it away from being an accusation. You're simply stating how you feel. I statements allow you to speak without blaming. They also, you know, when you use an I statement, people are less likely to shut down. Number four. Just as it's important for you to establish boundaries for yourself, it's equally important to have conversations with other people about their boundaries. And I think I alluded to this a little bit in number one. But this opens the door for productive dialogue that enhances relationships. It sends a really clear message that it isn't all about you. It's about deepening or preserving the relationship. What I'm trying to say is that when you're expressing your boundaries to someone, invite them into the conversation by inquiring about what works for them. This gives you information on ways in which you may have unwittingly stepped on a few toes yourself. You know, coming to an understanding of other people's boundaries enables us to be or to more easily accept their no's and not fall into the trap of trying to convince them to do what makes them uncomfortable. Number five is commitment. You got to commit to the boundary. Commitment requires repeated practice, setting boundaries. And as you commit to staying the course on a boundary, pay attention to how you feel. You should feel good. Eventually, you should feel more powerful, more purposeful, and more in control of yourself. Number six. Because boundary clarity and boundary maintenance require reflection, you have to carve time for yourself. The more in touch and in tune you are with yourself, the better able you'll be to define and redefine your boundaries. It's in that quiet time with yourself that you're able to recalibrate your boundaries. You're also able to determine where, which relationships, which settings you might need to add a few additional boundaries. One of my observations of my life is that when people discover my passion for service, they find ways for me to serve that have a lot of meaning to them, but little meaning to me. My joy and my calling are in feeding, clothing, educating, and housing God's people. If you ask me to put a lot of time or effort or other resources in things that don't fall into those camps, I'm going to say no, because I need to reserve my energy for feeding, clothing, educating, and housing God's people. That's where my energy and resources need to go. I'll tell you, I would not have come to this clarity if I didn't take the time to keep evaluating and clarifying my boundaries. Number seven, and this is the last one. Be conscious of, be aware of your soft spots, and we all have them. These are the people or the situations or the organizations that tug on our heartstrings. Let me tell you, I know a lot of single childless women like myself who have poured thousands of dollars into other people's children and done that at their own detriment. There is absolutely nothing wrong with helping to ensure that kids get a good start in life. But when it jeopardizes your own or my own financial well-being, it is time to create boundaries. You got to be keenly aware of your soft spots and have a boundary plan when the tug on your heartstring comes, and it's coming. A strategy that I've heard of, though I've not tried it, is to set a limit on what you're willing to give to assist in one of those soft spot areas and not to exceed that limit. As I said, I've heard it, I haven't tried it. You got to figure out what works for you. If you have a heart, it's going to be difficult to have a rigid boundary around these things. And around the people that you love. I've got a good friend, and she and her husband have done very well financially. A lot of their members of their family have not done so well. They had a problem. Their generosity with those family members was causing tighter finances in their home and a little difficulty between them. So they decided on a system. They put a certain amount of money in a special account for other people's emergencies. They no longer gave gifts. They made loans and expected the loans to be repaid. Now, the loan repayment went back into that account. They only worked with the money that was in that account. They did not go into their other savings or investments to replenish the family loan fund. When that fund got low, it was because somebody in the family had not repaid the loan. And when the next relative came knocking, they were able to say, well, we don't have it. And they didn't have it because somebody hadn't repaid what they borrowed. And they had that designated fund. And when the fund got low, oh, well, too bad, too sad. When we get good at boundary setting, we determine what's enough for us. We practice self-love and self-respect. That self-love and that self-respect are what enables us to enhance our feelings of self-worth and self-value. And this is how we build a self-encouraging mindset. This is how we feed our hearts and change our internal dialogue. That change in internal dialogue allows us to tell ourselves how we deserve to be treated. It enables us to tell ourselves that boundaries are our right and they're our responsibility. They're a tool that preserves our health, our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health, all of those aspects of well-being. I want to wrap this up and I want to recap a couple of important points. One, boundaries are essential in a healthy life. They help us honor ourselves and honor others. And if you're worried that setting boundaries will make you less popular, less liked, or seem confrontational, don't worry. It's all in the way that you set them. Use the I messages to express clear boundaries. Don't accuse, don't attack. Remember, you are responsible for your feelings. You teach people how to treat you, and then you get to reteach them how to treat you. If boundary setting is new to you or if it's real uncomfortable, give yourself a break. Like, try small stuff, build the muscle, and then tackle the bigger areas where you need to set some limits. Forgive yourself when you slip because you're going to slip. Remember this, boundaries are a form of self-care. It's something we need to actively incorporate in our daily life so that we enrich our lives from the inside out. It's worth the effort to experience a little initial discomfort on your road to being a strong self-advocate. And that's what boundary setting is all about, self-advocacy. So test a few of the strategies, try them, refine them so that they meet your needs. Just get comfortable setting boundaries because you deserve them. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.